Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here. Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What are you thinking? Please express it and send it to idea@wretched.org, or if you are the texting type, 877-282-2337.
Well, our first question comes from William. He texted in and asked, Todd, someone I knew recently lost their job, and reaching out to them and offering to help, they mentioned that unemployment would pad the time until they found a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better for Christians to avoid going on unemployment and ask the local church for help in order to foster reliance on one another?
Sure, that's better. But is it a sin if you get yourself unemployment? I don't think it is necessarily. Now, if you decide I'm going to file so I can sit at home and play video games so I don't have to work, that would be a sin. Why? We're the working people. You don't work, you don't eat. So we shouldn't rely on it. We shouldn't abuse it. But if the government wants to offer a program that helps us out in this particular economy until we get to the place where we actually have a job, I don't think that that has to be a sin. But I will say this, the current welfare program, the current unemployment program, it is lacking the key biblical component. If we're going to give you this money, you got to be working. You got to be doing something. And if you aren't working now, you got to be looking really, really hard. And you got to prove it, not just to file some paperwork, but prove it. Because the biblical challenge is really clear. You ain't willing to work, you're going to starve. And you should, because God wants us to work. 877-282-2337.
Remember, this is for Marcus. Todd, I've been asked to speak on revival in my church. What's the biblical basis for true revival?
I'm thinking the first thing we need to consider are some of the Old Testament revivals like Nineveh, perhaps the greatest revival ever. So we can go study that historical narrative, and I think we can come up with some rules for revival, if you will, although the word is packed with a little bit too much meaning for it to not get a little bit dicey. Nevertheless, how did all these people get saved in Nineveh? Preaching. Please note, there was no band traveling around with Jonah. He didn't set up a tent and say that the Holy Spirit is going to show up tonight at 7 o'clock, bring your unsaved friends. It wasn't scheduled per se. He simply preached. That is what should bring about revival, true revival. And I get a little bit skeptical when there's a lot of bells and whistles involved because it can be manipulative, a la Charles Finney. Doesn't necessarily mean that, but it is a danger. It is the proclamation of the word. So what did we see in Nineveh that tells us that was a true revival? They got saved. They were sackcloth and ashing it. Oh, this is awful. We're sinners. That's the fruit of revival. So I think we can safely say we do see some biblical examples of revival, but we want to be careful that we don't try to. I don't think a church that has revival meetings is sinning, but there's something about scheduling those types of things that is kind of like we're going to plan this so that people get saved. That tends to cross into a line where I think we're probably thinking that we can somehow be involved in the salvation of men by the way that we put this thing together, the music that is played, the air conditioners in the tent. We see another revival in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people added to the church that day. What got them there? Preaching of the word. So if there's going to be a revival, this is what we know. that it's going to be based around the Word of God. And might I suggest that all of us can be involved in that revival? Rather than thinking in terms of special event revival, if we are all out there preaching the Word, in other words, evangelizing, that's what brings about revival. You could also study Jonathan Edwards. You could study the first and second great awakening and how some of those things took place. It was always around the Word. Always, always. And some those things would just break out as opposed to being planned. Now, there were some itinerant ministers. There, George Whitefield would travel around to bring about revival. I say, let's all be revivalists. Every day, we don't need, doesn't mean you can't, we just don't need special events. 1-877-282-2337.
All right, this next question comes from Bill, who says, Todd, I'm disgusted with how little church attendance my five-year-old daughter has because I'm just tired of the uncomfortableness and awkwardness of bringing up going to church with my non-believing wife.
Mm.
Appreciate your thoughts.
My first thought is that being unequally yoked is so profoundly hard. So my understanding is the dynamic in this home. He's saved. She's not. He wants to go to church. Mom won't go. And then he doesn't take his daughter because maybe at church, they wonder, where's mom? Ooh, can we all appreciate that dynamic for a moment before we just jump in, perhaps with an encouragement? It is hard. Being unequally yoked and being a single parent, I think, are the two most challenging dynamics of familial configuration that there is. It's hard to be unequally yoked, which is why if you're thinking about marrying somebody who's not a believer, you are commanded not to do so. And I'm telling you, you go ahead with it, it will be a disaster. So what would I encourage this fellow to do? I would try to lovingly encourage him to go to church and bring his daughter every single Sunday. I think it's going to have three effects. Number one, the mom is going to see it. She's going to see the faithfulness that he just keeps going and going and going, and he doesn't get snarky about it. I think, sir, you could invite her. Hey, dear, we're going to church. You know you're always welcome. Don't make it a thing. Just do it and bring the daughter because you are charged to put her under the hearing of God's word. I think the second fruit from this is what will happen to you. I get it. There's some awkwardness. Well, why don't we ever see the mom? So where's her mom? I get that. But you can understand why people might ask that, even if it's like a Mrs. Kravitz. Okay, it will cause you to grow, and it'll cause you to appreciate the importance of being in a body. You can't. I get it. It's hard. I've affirmed that, but you can't use the difficulty of the awkwardness to reject the assembling of the saints. You just can't forsake going to church. It will grow you. And I think the third fruit from it will be the people in the congregation that are going to see it. They're going to know about it, not because they've been gossiping. We'll give the benefit of the doubt. And they're going to go, wow, that dude is so faithful. He just keeps coming. He gets her dressed up, puts on her pretty dress, gets her hair done, and he just, wow, that dude is faithful. So I see nothing but upside for you being a faithful dad. You can still be the spiritual leader in your home. And I wouldn't be surprised, because this has happened plenty, where a woman or a husband, just swap genders if you like, because you can these days, where they get saved from watching the faithfulness of a spouse. Hey, wait a second. That's what Peter said. He was addressing women. Godly character. Be just amazingly loving and supportive and respectful. And he might get saved without saying a word. Don't be surprised, sir, if your faithfulness isn't used by God to get your wife saved. idea@wretched.org.
You know, Todd, Dr. Greg Gifford started a series on being unequally yoked this week.
That's right. Yeah. Now, wait a second. Yeah. Did it start already?
Yeah.
How could that? What was the first? Because I listened to it on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's the first one, I think, is on dating. Being unequally yoked in dating.
Okay.
And then the next one is friendships. And I think the next one will be loving your unbelieving spouse.
Oh, man, Scylla. It's hard. It's doable, by the way. It is very doable. because there is a source that you can plug into that will give you the energy and the power and the patience and the kindness and the love that'll keep you from becoming bitter. It's totally available to you. And it comes from, if you will, being married first and foremost to your Savior. And then you will find that you've got the ability to endure, because the heartaches and disappointments that come from being unequally yoked, they will be satisfied in the one who is always faithful, the one who is always true, the one who is always good. And speaking of podcasts, Jimmy, there's going to be a couple more podcasts added here in Wretched Land. The name of this ministry, by the way, isn't Wretched. It's Gospel Partners Media. And we produce all, you know, the Transform TV shows and Road Trip to Truth and all the other stuff. Well, we're going to be adding some more podcasts. Going to be telling you about that on April 15th. You say, why are you telling us about what you're going to tell us? Because it's my hope that you will be as excited about it as we are. Greg Giffords' podcast rocks. It is in the top 1% of all podcasts worldwide after less than a year. It's that good. So if you ain't listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Giffords, you're missing the boat. And please be looking forward to more podcasts like that on different subjects, but just as excellent. Can't wait. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, what used to be a movie is now our sad reality. We're living in a world that's gone absolutely bonkers. So much so that six mads just aren't enough to describe it. Social media may be bombarding us left and right. Our Christian worldview may be under assault. But we have the dynamic duo of Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz. And they're coming to the rescue with Wretched Worldview 2. Tackling 22 of those pesky, thorny, contemporary issues through a biblical lens, helping us to defend the biblical view on things like sexuality and gender, critical race theory, modesty and apparel, persecution, secular entertainment, environmentalism, 22 issues to be exact. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to wretched.org, grab your copy of Wretched Worldview 2. And hey, while you're there, snag that study guide too, because it's the perfect companion for navigating this mad world with wisdom and grace.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Head Rush, this is Wretched Radio. Maybe it's just a tall person's malady, but if I don't drink enough water, Jimmy, I get the weirdest echoey thing in my ears. And unless I bend over to get like blood to my head, I think I could be going down. I think I've got an issue. I'll be visiting the doctor soon. Would you please send whatever it is that is on your mind to idea@wretched.org? Friel, enough of your maladies.
So many issues.
All right. That's the least of my issues. Hey, by the way, before we get back to the mail, I didn't give you the cue.
Sorry.
What's the cue, Jimmy?
I got it.
Idea@wretched.org. Phil Johnson, recovering from the shoulder surgery, but he has to have another one. So be praying for the bionic theologian, Phil Johnson. Hey, the good news is, apparently he doesn't have head rushes and almost pass out. Idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Mercy. That's how the email was signed, Mercy. How can I train my mind not to default to a negative mindset and not let the bitterness of those around me, especially in my high school, affect the way I feel toward others?
Yipper. Good on you, high school Mercy, for identifying that the people that you surround yourself with can have a huge impact. So here's what the Proverbs would say to you. If you're hanging around people that are bringing you down, that are causing you to even be tempted to sin, you need to get away from them. You need better friends. Now, that doesn't mean you can never befriend them. It doesn't mean you can't be friendly. But if the relationship dynamic is such that they're having a negative impact on you, far more so than you're having a positive impact on them, safety says, run, get away from it, choose different friends. I saw a trend in secular society, kind of Oprah-like, that, hey, if you've got somebody who just can't be there to support you, you just got to jettison them so that you can just have the me time that you deserve. No, that's not the attitude. That's not the heart. Then it's not just choosing friends so that I can be improved by them. It's a wisdom issue that is biblical. Choose your friends wisely. Now, she's probably listening to this and saying, but I'm just surrounded by them all the time. Yep. I would encourage you, identify the ones that are godly and be like as close to them. Work on developing those relationships as much as you can. Second, you're going to need to feed your soul more. If they're assaulting you, if they are draining you, then you need to just keep filling yourself up. And third, I would say, as far as the bitterness business, that is something that is really doable. I was thinking about Brad Bigney's book, Gospel Treason, and how it lays out how the gospel makes its way into everything in a real practical kind of way. And you need that right now. Because if you're starting to feel like I'm getting bitter on the inside, the gospel will help you. You say, I've heard that cliche before. What does it look like? Well, you need to remember anthropology. Who are you dealing with? Sinners, maybe even unregenerate sinners. The gospel would remind you, and you used to be just like that. In fact, you were worse than that. I was worse than that, and I'm worse than you because I'm the worst sinner that I know. And yet Jesus saved me. Now I can turn and look at those who are annoying, agitating, perhaps they use foul language, sexual innuendo, and you can have some sympathy, and you can remember God's kindness that was shown to you when he was patient with you in saving you. And you can go about the business of forgiving them for the wrongs that they have committed against you. Because if you don't, and this goes for all of us, a root of bitterness, it's going to get in there. And let me tell you something, getting it out, you're going to need more than a roto-rooter. You are going to need a chainsaw. You are going to need a backhoe. Because bitterness, once it takes root, it doesn't like to let go. So do your best to keep it from growing roots inside of you via applying the gospel. idea at wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Anonymous. Todd, are my wife and I being unreasonable by telling our 20-year-old son, who's a youth pastor intern, that we don't support his decision to take a trip alone with a young lady who volunteers in the youth group?
Oh, sorry. I was bending over to get some blood to my head right there. A trip alone?
Yeah.
Don't you just get one loan at a time?
a trip alone.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
All right. So the son.
He's a youth pastor intern.
And he wants to go.
With the youth group on a trip, but only with who being chaperoned by a lady who's a volunteer in the youth group.
Right.
So they're the only two adults, I guess.
Yeah, alrighty. Is that a good idea? The answer is probably not. Probably not. Could it be of a dynamic where it's like, okay, it passed the wisdom test, an age discrepancy, perhaps? But any time that you are putting yourself into some sort of a situation where temptation can flourish, the Proverbs, get away from that. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Every single individual who has fallen says the exact same thing. Well, that'll never happen. Oh, no. I don't feel that way about her. And the next thing you know, they are living with oodles of regrets. It's a wisdom issue. This isn't to be stodgy. This is to be noble. That's the word. To be dignified and godly. That we do things. I think we were talking about this a week or two ago about being in an office alone with another woman, going out to lunch with a woman at work. This isn't about, oh, you just make everything so hard and such a drag being a Christian. No, we want to be smart. We don't want to be dumb people. And the Bible says you put yourself in those situations knowingly, you're dumb. So be wise. And there, I'm telling you, there is something about putting those things in place with the right attitude because you want to be godly. You don't want to sin. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. There's something about that that is edifying. There's something about that that just, it makes you feel, sorry for the rather lowly evangelical lingo, just makes you feel good. Hey, I'm a royal priest. I'm set apart. I don't want to be a clay pot that gets used for ignoble things. I want to be one that gets used for big things. So Lord, help me to be smart and help me to be wise in all of these things and take counsel. And finally, I would say this to the young man. I know that you are smart and that you perhaps have seen some things and you've studied. But here's what I know. Your parents are smarter and wiser still. They just are. Embrace that. Don't kick against the goads of parental wisdom. Embrace that and know that they care for you. And they are going to tell you the things your pals aren't. This is a plague right now for the Gen Zers, the one that came before them, the boomer, to varying degrees. That you want parents that are just so cool. I don't have cool parents. You got something better. You got parents who are, you know, parents that are going to love you and be willing to say the hard things, and they're going to want to get into your mess. And I grant you, sometimes parents get involved in a way that's kind of pushing it a little bit too much and not honoring the fact that you're an adult. I get that. But it's my experience. That's the exception, not the rule. Let them in. If you want to be affirmed on this trip, going with a woman and a bunch of kids, then go talk to your pals about it because they'll go, oh, yeah, man, that's great. That's really cool. Yeah, and make sure you drive the car 90 miles an hour around a curve in Monaco because that'd be really cool to make sure you get video of that. Your parents aren't going to talk to you like that, and they're not going to give you that sort of affirmation that you seek. That is not their job. You don't want your parents to be pals. That doesn't mean that you can't develop and savor a relationship with them that is sweet and respectful mutually. But you got a treasure in your parents. Don't cast it aside. Embrace the blessing of parental wisdom and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Shelby. I don't know if you've seen this or not, Todd, but there, what do you think about people waving flags during worship services? Is this just a fad that's going through churches?
What kind of flag are we talking about here?
Don't know.
I think it's probably the ribbon thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think of a psalm where that might be described. And as I stand here with a lack of blood in my head at the moment, I can't think of any that say that that's something that we saw that is described. And it isn't something that's regulated. That, I think, is the key. That's what would help me to decide. Does God want us waving ribbons? Now, you could say, well, it's like a celebratory thing. It's like what we do for royalty to welcome somebody who's a king or a prince. Right, but does God want that? What does God want? He wants prayer. He wants the reading of his word. He wants the opening up of his word. He wants the Lord's table celebrated, prayers, supplication. Those are the elements that he regulates. And anything outside of those, you're probably getting into the danger zone of doing things that make us happy, but maybe aren't pleasing to God. This is Wretched Radio.